Hello and welcome back to another episode of Bible Prophecy for Today. My name is Heather, and today we are reading March 25th. If you're just now joining us, we are reading through the Bible chronologically using the one-year chronological Bible, the New Living Translation. Thank you guys so much for joining me, and I apologize for yesterday's reading. I had a little heater going in the background, and you can definitely hear that on the recording, and I do apologize. I will be re-recording March's 24th reading later on today or tomorrow, so I do apologize for that. But today, we're on March 25th, and this is Israel defeats the southern kings. So we're in Joshua chapter 10. So thank you guys so much for joining me, and may the Lord God bless the reading of his word today. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had captured and completely destroyed Ai and killed his king, just as he had destroyed the town of Jericho and killed its king. He also learned that the Gibeonites had made peace with Israel and were now their allies. He and his people became very afraid when they heard all this, because Gibeon was a large town, as large as the royal cities and larger than Ai, and the Gibeonite men were strong warriors. So King Adonai Zedek of Jerusalem sent messengers to several other kings: Hoham of Hebron, Miram of Jarmuth, Japhiah of Lachish, and Debir of Eglon. "Come and help me destroy Gibeon," he urged them, "for they have made peace with Joshua and the people of Israel." So these five Amorite kings combined their armies for a united attack. They moved all their troops into place and attacked Gibeon. The men of Gibeon quickly sent messengers to Joshua at his camp in Gilgal. "Don't abandon your servants now," they pleaded. "Come at once, save us, help us, for all the Amorite kings who live in the hill country have joined forces to attack us." So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal and set out for Gibeon. "Do not be afraid of them," the Lord said to Joshua, "for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you." Joshua traveled all night from Gilgal and took the Amorite armies by surprise. The Lord threw them into a panic, and the Israelites slaughtered great numbers of them at Gibeon. Then the Israelites chased the enemy along the road to Beth Horon, killing them all along the way to Hezekiah and Makkedah. As the Amorites retreated down the road from Beth Horon, the Lord destroyed them with a terrible hailstorm from heaven that continued until they reached Azekah. The hail killed more of the enemy than the Israelites killed with the sword. On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel, and he said, "Let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. Is this event not recorded in the book of Jashar? The sun stayed in the middle of the sky, and it did not set as on a normal day. There has never been a day like this one before or since, when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. Then Joshua and the Israelite army returned to their camp at Gilgal. Joshua kills the five southern kings. Joshua chapter 10, verses 16 through 27. During the battle, the five kings escaped and hid in a cave in Makkedah. When Joshua heard that they had been found, he issued this command: "Cover the opening of the cave with large rocks and place guards at the entrance to keep the kings inside. The rest of you continue chasing the enemy and cut them down from the rear. Don't give them a chance to get back to their towns, for the Lord your God has given you victory over them." So Joshua and the Israelite army continued the slaughter and completely crushed the enemy. They totally wiped out the five armies except for a tiny remnant that managed to reach their fortified towns. Then the Israelites returned safely to Joshua in the camp at Makkedah. After that, no one dared to speak even a word against Israel. Then Joshua said, "Remove the rocks covering the opening of the cave and bring the five kings to me." So they brought the five kings out of the cave, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. When they brought them out, Joshua told the commanders of his army, "Come and put your feet on the king's necks." And they did as they were told. "Don't ever be afraid or discouraged," Joshua told his men. "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is going to do this to all your enemies." Then Joshua killed each of the five kings and impaled them on five sharpened poles where they hung until evening. As the sun was going down, Joshua gave instructions for the bodies of the kings to be taken down from the poles and thrown into the cave where they had been hiding. Then they covered the opening of the cave with a pile of large rocks, which remains to this very day. Israel destroyed the southern cities, Joshua 10, verses 28 through 43. That same day, Joshua captured and destroyed the town of Makkedah. He killed everyone in it, including the king, leaving no survivors. He destroyed them all, and he killed the king of Makkedah as he had killed the king of Jericho. Then Joshua and the Israelites went to Libna and attacked it. There too, the Lord gave them the town and its king. He killed everyone in it, leaving no survivors. Then Joshua killed the king of Libna as he had killed the king of Jericho. From Libna, Joshua and the Israelites went to Lachish and attacked it. Here again, the Lord gave them Lachish. Joshua took it on the second day and killed everyone in it, just as he had done at Libna. During the attack on Lachish, King Hiram of Jezer arrived with his army to help defend the town. But Joshua's men killed him and his army, leaving no survivors. Then Joshua and the Israelites' army went on to Eglon and attacked it. They captured it that day and killed everyone in it. He completely destroyed everyone, just as he had done at Lachish. From Eglon, Joshua and the Israelite army went up to Hebron and attacked it. They captured the town and killed everyone in it, including its king, leaving no survivors. They did the same thing to all of its surrounding villages, and just as he had done at Eglon, he completely destroyed the entire population. Then Joshua and the Israelites turned back and attacked Debir. He captured the town, its king, and all of its surrounding villages. He completely destroyed everyone in it, leaving no survivors. He did to Debir and its king just what he had done to Hebron and to Libna and its king. So Joshua conquered the whole region, the kings and the people of the hill country, the Negev, the western foothills, and the mountain slopes. He completely destroyed everyone in the land, leaving no survivors, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded. Joshua slaughtered them from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza and from the region around the town of Goshen up to Gibeon. Joshua conquered all these kings and their land in a single campaign, for the Lord, the God of Israel, was fighting for this people. Then Joshua and the Israelite army returned to their camp at Gilgal. Israel defeats the northern kings, Joshua chapter 11, verses 1 through 23. When King Jabin of Hazor heard what had happened, he sent messages to the following kings: King Joab of Madon, the king of Shimron, the king of Akshaph, all the kings of the northern hill country, the kings in the Jordan Valley, south of Galilee, the kings in the Galilean foothills, the kings of Nephath Odor on the west, the kings of Canaan, both east and west, the kings of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites in the hill country, and the Hivites in the towns on the slopes of Mount Hermon in the land of Mizpah. All these kings came out to fight. Their combined armies formed a vast horde. And with all their horses and chariots, they covered the landscape like the sand on the seashore. The kings joined forces and established their camp around the water near Merom to fight against Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. By this time tomorrow, I will hand all of them over to Israel as dead men. Then you must cripple their horses and burn their chariots." So Joshua and all his fighting men traveled to the water near Merom and attacked suddenly. And the Lord gave them victory over their enemies. The Israelites chased them as far as Greater Sidon in Misrapoth Maim and eastward into the valley of Mizpah, until not one enemy warrior was left alive. Then Joshua crippled the horses and burned all the chariots as the Lord had instructed. Joshua then turned back and captured Hazor and killed his king. Hazor had at one time been the capital of these kingdoms. The Israelites completely destroyed every living thing in the city, leaving no survivors. Not a single person was spared, and then Joshua burned the city. Joshua slaughtered all of the other kings and their people, completely destroying them, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But the Israelites did not burn any of the towns built on mounds except Hazor, which Joshua burned. And the Israelites took all the plunder and livestock of the ravaged towns for themselves, but they killed all the people, leaving no survivors. As the Lord had commanded his servant Moses, so Moses commanded Joshua. And Joshua did as he was told, carefully obeying all the commands that the Lord had given to Moses. So Joshua conquered the entire region, the hill country, the entire Negev, the whole area around the town of Goshen, the western foothills, the Jordan Valley, the mountains of Israel, and the Galilean foothills. The Israelite territory now extended all the way from Mount Halak, which leads up to Seir in the south, as far north as Belgad, at the foot of Mount Hermon in the Valley of Lebanon. Joshua killed all the kings of those territories, waging war for a long time to accomplish this. No one in this region made peace with the Israelites except the Hivites of Gibeon. All the others were defeated, for the Lord hardened their hearts and caused them to fight the Israelites. So they were completely destroyed without mercy, as the Lord had commanded Moses. During this period, Joshua destroyed all the descendants of Anak, who lived in the hill country of Hebron, Debir, Anab, and the entire hill country of Judah and Israel. He killed them all and completely destroyed their towns. None of the descendants of Anak were left in all the land of Israel, though some still remained in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. So Joshua took control of the entire land, just as the Lord had instructed Moses. He gave it to the people of Israel as their special possession, dividing the land among the tribes. So the land finally had rest from war. Kings defeated east of the Jordan. So this is Joshua chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. These are the kings east of the Jordan who had been killed by the Israelites and whose land was taken. Their territory extended from the Arnon Gorge to Mount Hermon and included all the land east of the Jordan Valley. King Sihon of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, was defeated. His kingdom included Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge and extended from the middle of the Arnon Gorge to the Jabbok River, which serves as a border for the Ammonites. This territory included the southern half of the territory of Gilead. Sihon also controlled the Jordan Valley in regions to the east, as far north as the Sea of Galilee to as far south as the Dead Sea, including the road to Beth Jeshimoth, and southward to the slopes of Pisgah. King Og Bashan, the last of the Rephaites, lived at Ashtaroth in Edrei. He ruled a territory stretching from Mount Hermon to Salaka in the north and to all of Bashan in the east and westward to the borders of the kingdoms of Geshur and Maacah. This territory included the northern half of Gilead, as far as the boundary of King Sihon of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the Israelites had destroyed the people of King Sihon and King Og, and Moses gave their land as a possession to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. So guys, thank you so much for joining me today as we travel through the Bible chronologically. It's been such a blessing to me, and I hope it is a blessing to you and an encouragement to you. I hope you'll join me later as we read March the 26th and the kings defeated west of the Jordan. And we'll be in Joshua chapter 12. And once again, I do apologize for the audio yesterday for March 24th reading. I will be rereading that and putting up a better audio of that. I do apologize for that. But it was freezing cold and snowing yesterday. And I usually do my reading here in my little recliner next to my little window here out front. So anyway, with that, guys, as always, get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into you. And hope you join me later on as I will be doing a prophecy update. I will be talking, and when I say prophecy update, I do headlines, news, and that kind of thing as it relates to Bible prophecy. And there's a whole lot going on in the world today. And I just want you to know, if you are anxious or you're nervous or you're scared, just remember, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and of a sound mind. And of course, Philippians 6, you know, if you like, I just turn my anxiety to a prayer. So if you have, you know, if you're nervous or, you know, you're anxious, just turn that into a prayer. You know, the Lord knows our heart, and he knows how we feel. And, you know, he wants us to pray to him. He wants us to ask him for guidance and for help. And the Lord says, cast your cares on me, Jesus says, because he cares for us. And so I want to go to Philippians here really quick. Philippians 4:6 here in my Bible here. And so this is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And I'm going to go back up, and we're just going to be, it says, be united, joyful, and in prayer. And this is Philippians chapter 4. And I'm just going to start in verse 1. So chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Be united, joyful, and in prayer. This is the New King James Version. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion. Help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And to meditate on these things, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And so with that, guys, get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into you. And Maranatha, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, He's coming soon. Nobody knows the day, nobody knows the hour, but He did tell us when you see these things begin to happen to lift your head up high, for your redemption draws near. So we know we are in the end days. We're living in the days of the end, and it's just a matter of just who knows. It is coming quickly. We do know the Lord Jesus is coming quickly, and it could be today, or it could be 10 years from now. We don't know, but the signs are all pointing to the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So anyway, with that, guys, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. And may God give us His boldness to go out and to tell the lost and dying world about the Lord Jesus Christ, and tell people the gospel and tell people the truth during these days, because Jesus told us to be careful and to not be deceived. And Lord God, I just thank you for everything that you do for us, for always taking care of us. We thank you for your word, God. And I thank you that you always protect us and you always have our best interest in mind. No matter what we may be going through, Lord, you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And we just give you praise, honor, and glory, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.